This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06 and this is the evening edition with Sharmila and Lynn. It's been exactly a year since the first MCO came into place. We've made it collectively chugging along somehow. But we've also all had to adapt and change many of those daily behaviors that we took for granted. So we wanted to talk about the changes that we've all been seeing in ourselves and whether we see them sort of sticking around.
So truth be told, we're having this conversation because it's a significant date of sorts, right? It's a year on, hence the idea of an anniversary. But this is not really an anniversary that anybody wants to celebrate. And also, I've been thinking about this, the true impact of what has happened in terms of our mental health, our education, the arts, all these things I think we're really only going to see in many years to come. So just to say that we're talking about it knowing full well that there's really no way to encompass everything that has happened and will happen. But surprise, surprise, the first MCO was imposed on March 18th last year, hence the year. And since then, so many things have come into place. Masks, keeping a distance of 6 feet, physical distancing, first calling it social distancing, then switching gears, working from home, getting used to, as we are now, looking at each other only through Zoom. So many things.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember the last time I've been in an office with everyone being here at the same time, which in itself feels like an odd thing to say because a year is both not that long and yet feels like it's been ages. And, you know, as you said, the things that we've sort of oddly gotten used to, you know, I find myself definitely, you know, almost subconsciously standing apart from people when I speak to them. We don't hug anymore. And then because you're often wearing masks, you sort of maintain more eye contact, for instance. You're gauging emotional reactions through eyes and through people's body language. I feel like I wave my hands around a lot more now. So it's these little things that I feel very quickly have become a norm, not necessarily in a way that people enjoy, but nevertheless is kind of around for a while.
Yeah. And on top of that, I think most of us will have had the experience of watching something on television that was shot pre-pandemic or, you know, in some cases, many years, decades before any of this was going to happen. And seeing people's faces really close together or, you know, watching people yell at each other and thinking, oh, man, this is not going to fly now.
Party scenes bother me when I watch them on screen. Like people in a club really bother me.
And I'm hoping that that goes away, right? Because the question here is how much of this is going to stick around after we go back to whatever the normal that comes after this is going to look like, you know? How much of these changes in our behavior are we going to linger, I think? And this was the focus in some ways of a study done by the University of Maine and by the Emotion, Pain and Interpersonal Communication Lab. What a name. And they found a lot of the things that you've been just talking about, Sharmila, the relying on nonverbal communication, making direct eye contact. But interestingly, also the way we view masks has changed quite significantly. So they found that the participants in the study actually considered those wearing masks to be more intelligent, in some cases to be more friendly compared to the same faces without a mask. And so experts are saying perhaps that this mask in and of itself now symbolizes the common purpose of health.
So the other thing that's happened, of course, is the fact that precisely because it's safer not to be in proximity to people, so much of our communication now happens online, you know, through video conferencing, through chats. So we've gotten so used to seeing people on screens to varying effect, I think, right? The term Zoom fatigue has become a thing over the last year. And there was actually a study on this by Stanford University, and they found that most people actually get tired or exhausted looking at faces on Zoom calls, particularly their own faces, because there's a thing of, there's this tendency, I think, to focus on yourself, to self-criticize, which leads to this sense of Zoom fatigue that doesn't happen when you're talking to people face-to-face. You also need to learn to pick up on these sort of nonverbal cues on a screen. And so it's a sort of, I think your brain is working over time to make sense of this new way of communication. And that's part of what leads to this sense of Zoom fatigue.
I have to say that the first time I heard the term Zoom fatigue, it felt as if somebody had unlocked something in my head that I had been feeling, but I didn't know I was feeling, because you would think that it would be much the same. The whole idea of a video call is that it's very, very similar to face-to-face. You can see each other's faces. You can pick up on what you would think are these nonverbal cues. But all these things I agree with. I think there's a tendency to look at yourself. You could, of course, get rid of your own view on screen, but I don't know how helpful that really is in the long term. There's the fact that you just simply can't read people as well. And you are also on pressure to perform, especially if you have multiple meetings, multiple hangouts and the like with your camera on. And there's this new point of etiquette now for to have your camera on, or it's considered rude for some people. So I think it's a lot of new elements that we're having to pick up along the way as well.
I must say, even in the course of the year, I've noticed the enthusiasm for group Zoom calls, catching up over Zoom, has sharply dropped in my social circle. Certainly even among the people that I've been seeing posting online, it was a thing in the start. 1 year down, I think there's a definite sense of exhaustion that's setting in. But we want to know if you could sum up the last year in a single word or a gif or a phrase, maybe. What would it be? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Associate Professor Dr. Anasuya Jagadeesan, who is the Director for the Center of Human Excellence and Development at Taylor's University. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:14 and this is the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. We're talking about the 1 year anniversary, if you want to call it that, of the MCO, though not really the happy kind, and how you've changed over the last year. You know, if you could sum up the last year in one word, one gif, what would it be? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have on the line with us Associate Professor Dr. Anasuya Jagadeesan, Director for the Center of Human Excellence and Development at Taylor's University. Dr. Anasuya, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So how are you feeling 1 year on from the MCO being announced, and how does it feel to look back on the year that's been?
I'm going to use one word for the 1 year, which is fatigue. That's my word for it. It's just, at this point in time, looking back, it's just, I'm tired of MCO. I'm tired of, you know, not being able to go out. I'm tired of wearing the mask. Yeah, just, I mean, I'm just fatigued by the whole thing. So that's my one word for the year. But when I look back, it's also the year where I lost 20 kg and I've managed to keep it off. So there's something good came out of it. There you go.
Nice. And in line with that, right, what would you say are some of the biggest changes from not going out, from wearing that mask, from staying in mostly, in terms of how we interact with each other?
I think the original MCO, a lot of people had a chance to interact with themselves. And some people found that too overwhelming. Some people found that just nice. Some people felt trapped because they were with people that, you know, was not optimal for them. So the first levels of MCO, we were all scared. And there was a level of fear because the death rates initially that we imagined were a lot higher than the death rates turned out to be. Although COVID is very dangerous, it is not going to be as killer as we thought it was. So when we take all of these together, the first round of MCO, we were all a lot more serious, a lot more scared. And now, you know, we are still scared, but we're a bit more relaxed and we're just tired. So when you look at the whole year, people's way of dealing with other people have changed. I actually know individuals who used to be very extroverted, but now are literally afraid when more than two people come to their house. You know, and so that's not good. And, you know, there's also this fear of, because, you know, younger children, younger teenagers, you know, there are specific ages of development where you learn social skills, where you learn how to manage in social situations. You know, how's that going to be affected? So these are questions that we will only know the effect of in a few years. And yeah, so it is, I mean, while I can joke about it and call it fatiguing and all that, there are social implications of what's happened in the last 1 year that is going to be showing its results way after COVID is no longer an issue.
So speaking of those impacts, you touched on this a little bit, but how has this sort of total change in the way we communicate and interact, how has this impacted us in terms of our emotional and mental well-being?
You see, many people, you know, react to it differently. So a lot of people have become more sedentary. People are not moving as much as they could, should, or would. And they're not going out as much. So sometimes we don't realize that when we go out, it's not just about spending money, it's also about physical activity. And the level of physical activity has gone down. And some people have found out, I don't need to socialize as much, so they're still healthy. The problem is it's along a huge, you know, variety of different reactions from different people. And with all human interactions, if we're going to assume that there's one shoe that fits all human beings, we're going to be in the wrong. So you are going to have a lot of people who are okay, they are fine. You know, come out of COVID, their daily lives, you know, from what we are talking about, they'll be thinking, what are you all talking about? It's perfectly fine. It's just managing these things and then it goes away. And then the other people who are, you know, they're very happy for it because they don't have to interact. They are so, oh my God, I don't have to see my in-laws, I don't have to see my cousins, I'm the happiest person on the planet. And then there are people who are the opposite, you know, who get more afraid, who get more, more serious reactions. So you're going to get that whole range of different reactions that are coming from human experience. And that's what makes it, at least for somebody like me who looks at human behaviors and human interactions, it makes it quite fascinating and it makes it quite interesting. Yes, so there you go.
And, you know, if we look at the actual physical things now that determine the way we communicate, so not just the fact that many times we're not in the same room, but sometimes even when we are together, we are spaced out pretty far apart. We're wearing masks as long as we're in public. I'm just thinking, and based on that study we were talking about earlier, considering the mask itself and considering standing far apart, social distancing, has the way we communicate fundamentally changed?
It's hard to say during COVID because we're still in a state of crisis. One of the biggest things about human beings is our ability to adapt and our ability to accept change and then change from that change. So to assume, when we look at it, we've survived world wars. We've survived, you know, huge kinds of economic disasters, even the Boxing Day tsunami. So now you're talking about, you know, when people say a new normal, it's like, how long is that normal going to last? It may last for a couple of years. It may last for, you know, it may be just be that, okay, you know, the vaccine works for everybody. Let's not worry about COVID. It's no longer an issue. And we're all back to normal the next day. So, you know, this is one of those situations where for people who did not catch COVID and for people who are not directly impacted by those who suffered from it, it's just going to be learning how to, you know, talk to people in different ways. Definitely, we are more online now. You know, even at work, when you talk about how we're going to study, how we're going to reach out to students, there's much more in terms of mixed methods. So we're going to be doing online as well as face-to-face. That part of our interaction now has changed. But have you all noticed that when you go into restaurants and people are talking, they're not on their phones as much anymore?
Mm.
You notice that? I mean, the last time I went to a couple of restaurants, I noticed that when people were in public, and I mean, I've not done a study on it, so I can't compare against the study that was done, but just when I'm looking around, when people are with others in a face-to-face scenario, when they're obviously not family members, they're like a mixed group, I don't see much handphones out anymore. Not as much as it used to be. So maybe there may be something when we actually see each other face-to-face, we are more willing to actually engage and not give our attention to the phones. But maybe, I'm not sure, because I'm just looking at something which I've noticed, because, you know, I like to notice people, so I did notice that.
So that brings us quite neatly into the next thing that I wanted to ask you about, which is the impact of the digital world on our relationships, because the pandemic has pushed us to move online for so many of our both professional and social communications. How has this impacted the way we interact and the way we maintain our relationships?
Well, I mean, initially, like you pointed out earlier, initially people were doing a lot of social stuff online. Now you can't pay me to do social stuff online. I mean, unless my friend's birthday and, you know, it's like, oh, come on, love, we're having it, then okay, fine, I'll go. It feels like work. Mm-hmm. To me, when I go on Zoom, and I'm, I don't mind talking to my friends on the phone like this, but if you're going to have a Zoom chat with my friends, I'm sorry, it feels like work. It feels like more work. It's the same platform that we do at work. It's the same. It's almost the same experience. So for me, I mean, and this is speaking personally, it has actually had a slightly opposite effect, where I'd much rather see talk to somebody one-on-one on the phone, or, you know, have an interaction with somebody and not do it over the internet, and definitely not where I've got like 20 people and also everybody in small screens and we're all talking, and I'm like, okay, I need to see people. I mean, I don't find that to be, you know, as you know, it doesn't suit me in terms of communication. It might suit other people. It just doesn't suit me. So I'm not sure. I know I'm going to go against that, against the research, and say I don't like it. Okay, maybe I made this a bit personal, but yeah, I'm going to stand with that.
No, I agree. I'm with you. I am not interested in hanging out online as much at all. I did want to know, though, and you mentioned earlier that at this point in time, it's really hard to say, and I agree. We're still really in the middle of it, even though we all want to be at the end of it. But do you think that some of these new behaviors are going to continue even after things go back to quote-unquote normal?
Definitely. I definitely think that the acceptance of people being in meetings online, especially in the workplace, is going to change. I'm not so sure of how much it will affect schooling and how children are learning, because again, now, you know, whether because now they've seen that, oh, my child can work online, whether some parents may decide, you know, different format of schooling may suit them better. Universities will have to do both, because now the world becomes even more borderless, because if a student doesn't want to cross the country at all, you know, they can actually get a different quality of education and the same quality of education as they're doing it face-to-face without, you know. So there are questions that, in how we are dealing with education, workplace, that is going to change. Travel is another question of whether we'd even be allowed to travel the way we used to travel, you know, 2 years ago, and how that is going to be affected. Because now you've got things like whether you'd be satisfied with a virtual travel platform and to be supported in that kind of way, rather than actually going to countries. I'm very sure business meetings are going to go down, and people will say, okay, we can conduct business meetings internationally online. So there is going to be a definite ripple effect in terms of how we deal with people, especially when you're talking about an international scale. I do think there's going to be a huge change. I think in families, with a lot of us, I do feel that maybe the opposite has happened, where we actually now value seeing people a bit more. People who have not been in touch suddenly are getting in touch and want to see at least one or two people and just reach out. So there may be those people who want to reach out more and want to see each other physically more, which they didn't beforehand. So it's a good, I think that's the way we're going. There are going to be changes, but hopefully humans being humans, at the end of the day, we all need touch. We all need touch. We all need communication. And I doubt 1 year we'll be able to overturn, you know, 20,000 years of evolution. And even if you're talking about 1 year in terms of family relationships and social relationships, you got to understand it's only going to be those who remember COVID. I mean, with any luck, this year we're done with COVID. So we are 2 years of it. The people who are the children who are, you know, just being born, they'll forget. They won't even remember it. So the next generation, it won't be an issue. So, I mean, it's going to be a short, it is going to be, in terms of human existence, the change is not going to be long term. In terms of technology and workplace, yes, it will be. Definitely.
Dr. Anasuya, thanks for speaking with us.
No, my pleasure. It was fun.
That was Associate Professor Dr. Anasuya Jagadeesan, Director of the Centre of Human Excellence and Development at Taylor's University. So we've been asking you to tell us how you're feeling on this one-year anniversary of the MCO, or if you could sum up the last year in one word, one GIF, one phrase, what would it be? Call us, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. I think in true reflection of this overly digital year, we seem to be getting a lot of GIFs in response to our question, and many of them fairly reflective of how we feel. I wanted to start with, over on Twitter, Gurpreet Singh didn't even bother with a GIF. He just put in a full stop. That was his response that describes
that
the last year.
That made me laugh.
Yeah, I know.
The comedic value of a full stop compared to an ellipsis is everything, you know, because it is just a full stop. I don't even want to ruminate on it. It's just, nah, no, this is it. We also have, I mean, before we get to the GIFs, of which there are many, we have this from Walski who says, unreal, but it's actually a combo of surreal, exasperating, inundating, and toxifying.
Yeah, I think that about sums it up. We also have a little bit more on the positive side of on WhatsApp. Murali says realization, which I think can go either way, but sounds like a positive way to look at it, I feel.
Yeah, let's contrast that against Johan on Twitter, who just put Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage looking crazy.
Nicolas Cage looking crazy, yes. And then we have
Nicolas Cage as a GIF for 2020 is pretty much it.
We have SC Koo on Twitter as well, sharing a GIF of a train derailing off a broken track. Describing GIFs is not the easiest thing we're going
to... That's Back to the Future.
Oh, that is Back to the Future. That's right. Oh, thank you for reminding me. Let's see. Then we have very off the moment. Woke Karen on Twitter just has Oprah with her hands held up from the famous Meghan Markle interview.
Yeah, I'm loving the variety that we're getting in terms of GIFs, because just to group randomly, Justin Timberlake looking askance has been a popular one. Stanley from The Office, very popular. Michael Scott from The Office, also very popular. But also this from Dr. Isaac, who says, I got claps instead of pay or time off, and accompanied by a GIF of frontliners clapping. And I think that goes to show you that GIFs can say a lot, but also that is something that we have to reckon with.
Yeah, that there are many people who have been working very, very hard, much harder than they normally would have, and probably haven't been compensated nearly as enough. We have this on WhatsApp, an anonymous message that says, my one word would be shaken, not for me, but for most people and things around me. Except for my daughter's education being disrupted for a while, there hasn't been a great change for my work and home routine. Visits were out for festivals, but frankly, I don't miss them. Less gossip and absence makes the heart grow fonder. We keep in touch only through the phone. It felt more comfortable and familiar in the face of all these changes. There have always been all of these changes, but I decided to go with the flow and save my energy for handling traumatic changes in the unknown future. Let us know what the last year has been like for you. It is the 1 year. It's 1 year since the MCO came into place. If you could describe the last year in a word or a GIF, you can share that with us too. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.